Let's just ask the Lord to bless our time this morning. Father, we just thank you. We love you, and we know how much you love us, Lord, just for the things that you've been teaching us. And I just pray now that as we gather together and we talk about you and your word, and that you would just really motivate us, most of all for you, and energize us and excite us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here I was this mom, I had all these little kids, I was totally overwhelmed. I'm thinking to myself, it says that we are to devote ourselves to prayer, and I'm going, God, how can I devote myself to prayer? I don't even have time to do the things I need to do, let alone devote myself to prayer. But my heart really said, I want to spend time with my Lord. I want to have that quiet time. I want to be able to read God's word and draw upon his word. And I know that God does give us the desire of our hearts. There's no doubt about that in my mind. It may not be at the moment you're asking for it, but it will happen. And so the desire of my heart was that I would be able to have some time to spend with my Lord. And that's when I came up with my prayer organization, because I would get so overwhelmed by all the things I wanted to pray for, and the people I wanted to pray for, and the time I wanted to spend with the Lord, but it just seemed like I didn't have enough time to do that. And I began to go through a process of learning my prayer time and how to use my prayer time in an effective way. First of all, as we go before the Lord in prayer, it gives us an opportunity to confess to him, to cleanse our soul. Confessing to him helps us to cleanse our soul, that we might then be able to go before him and give him all the garbage, all the things that we're thinking and feeling, that we can be cleansed by him. As we have a definite time every day, that it will discipline us. If we can be disciplined in our prayer time, we're going to be able to be disciplined in other areas of our life as well. It also draws us close to the Lord. The more time we spend with him, the more we're going to be friends with Jesus, the more that we're going to learn about him, and he's going to know more about us, certainly, as we begin to share verbally with him. I mentioned yesterday about my auntie. My auntie has been the most difficult person in my life, most of my life. And I mentioned in my outline, it helps us to love those that we have a difficult time with. And you might be saying, well, I don't have anybody difficult in my life. And I say, just wait. Because they will probably show up at your door when you get home today. They may be waiting for you. Yeah, maybe you're the difficult one in somebody else's life. That's true. But every time I would go to visit my auntie and my uncle, I mean, it was like I had to really pray myself up, because, as Barbara mentioned, they were always ripping the joy out of my life and out of my heart. And so it really took growing and learning on my part to be able to know that I needed to be prayed up. Before I would call her on the telephone, I always prayed that my words would be good and positive no matter what she said to me. And then as we go before the Lord in prayer, it keeps us from temptations. It gives us the strength. You see, God gives us the strength. He is almighty, and he gives us the strength to be able to encounter some of the difficult times and the temptations in our life. See, we run into temptations every day. Food, for most of us, is a temptation. We have to make decisions. Are we going to eat right, or are we going to fall into the temptation of all the wonderful goodies that are there? How big a piece of cake are we going to take? Maybe we've got to make that decision. And it really is wonderful when we can even go before the Lord on silly little things like that, seemingly, but it's important to God. I taught a Bible study in my home for 14 years, and the women would come And they'd get there about 9:30 in the morning. And we had another house that took care of all the children, and we had babysitters over there. And sometimes we'd have 10 women, sometimes we'd have 40 women, sometimes we'd have 80 women, sometimes we'd have 5 women. We never knew how many were going to be there. But we began to do something that was really wonderful in our time when we would gather in our study together. We did what we called the Acts of Prayer. And I'm sure many of you have heard of it, was already mentioned, where you take the word Acts and you do an acrostic, and I've done it on your outline. The A is to adore God, that as we go before the Lord, the women would gather in the morning, and I'd have my little teacups out, and I'd have my little whatever I serve them. And they'd come in, and they'd have a little cup of tea or coffee, and we'd sit down. And then we would go through the Acts, and we would adore God. Now, how do we adore God? Well, there's many ways in which we can adore God. But you know what we did? We would call the names of Jesus. And as I looked at the banners in the sanctuary there, and I saw all those names of Jesus, how wonderful that was. And so the women would just go, Prince of Peace, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Emmanuel, Good Shepherd. And before we knew it, we were adoring God by just calling the names of Jesus. And then the C is to confess. And I would say to the women, now let's just bow our head. Let's take 30 seconds. Let's just confess to him. I didn't know what those moms went on before, what went on before they got there in the morning. They probably were angry at their kids because they weren't getting dressed fast enough, or they were getting late going to school, or whatever it was. And so we just needed to quiet our hearts and confess to God. And it was amazing what began to happen. The whole room sort of lit up, because now our hearts are beginning to be prepared for what we're going to learn. And then the T is to thank God for everything. You know, women, we can always, always find someone that has less than we have. And we can always see somebody that has more than we have. Why can't we be thankful for where God has us right today? We will never be in the same situation as we are today. Tomorrow is a new day. I don't have 5 children under 5 anymore. Thank God. I am not there. I have lived through a lot of situations in my life, and I will not be where I am today tomorrow. So every day can be a new day for us. And so we need to thank God where we are today. Thank him that you have been able to come to a conference like this and learn the things that you have learned, and the relationships that some of you have developed, that new people that you have met. All of these things are wonderful, positive, good, healthy things that we can thank God for. And then the S is supplication or submission. And I mentioned about submitting when I was on the floor, how I submitted myself and my life to God at a turning point in my life. It was a midlife crisis for me. I didn't know it because they hadn't labeled it midlife at that point. But that's where I was. I was on the floor crying out to God, where do I go from here? My children are grown. My husband's involved in this building this mobile home company, and my house was so organized, nobody needed me. And where am I going from here? And so I submitted myself to God. And you know, since that day, every day when I go before the Lord in prayer, I submit myself to him. I adore him. I confess to him. I thank him. And then I say, God, whatever you need to do with me today, bring the people into my life, the women into my life, whatever circumstance happens today, help me to be able to deal with those circumstances. Help me not to be overwhelmed. I am your woman. I am your child. And so we submit ourselves to God. Now, we're ready at this point to submit to him our prayer requests. Oh, this is where I got so overwhelmed, because I had all of these requests that I wanted to pray for. People would come up to me and they would say, well, pray for my aunt so-and-so, or pray for my husband, he's sick, or my children are in the hospital, or somebody has cancer, and all of these things. And I would, you know, you kind of shaking your head, oh, honey, yeah, I'll pray for you. But then all of a sudden, what happened? It was like I never wrote it down and I didn't remember. And then they'd come up to me and they'd say, oh, thank you for praying for my dad. He's better. He's out of the hospital. I'm going, oh, you know, you feel guilty because then you really didn't pray and you don't want them to know you didn't pray. And then you feel bad because you feel like, well, now I wasn't a part of the answer. And so, you know, all of these things happen. And that's when I came up with organizing my prayer notebook. And so what I did was I took all of the things that I wanted to pray for, and I began to make a list. And that's what I want you to do. I want to encourage you that sometime, you don't have to do it right now, but you can start right now by making a list. And you can do it under topics, and I've given you some of those topics on your outline. Your family, personal requests, missions, missionaries, ministries. I pray that you will include more hours in my day as a ministry that you pray for, as Bob and I are traveling across the country and ministering in conferences and retreats and seminars and holiday seminars. This is a very, very, very busy time, and Satan can use the fatigue in our lives to bring us down when we need to be up to uplift others and to teach others. We will be doing probably about 28 holiday seminars in a period of about 38 days. And so that's a lot of giving, and we really crash by the time that's over. And so we really covet your prayers for us. And then after you've made your list, and you will be adding to that list all the time, you're going to have maybe two or three sheets filled of things that you want to pray for. Then this is what I do. This is a prayer notebook. This is what is going to organize your appointment with God. In other words, we're going to make an appointment on a daily basis with God. Now, hopefully we're going to keep it as often as we can. Hopefully it will be every day. It is interesting, isn't it, what we do. When we're sick or our children are sick, we make an appointment with the doctor, and we take them. And we make an appointment at the dentist, and we go. And we make an appointment with the teacher, and we go. But when we make that appointment with God, it seems like we never call him up and cancel that appointment. We just miss it altogether. We don't keep that appointment as fervently as we do other appointments in our life that are not nearly as important. And so when we commit ourselves to making that appointment with God, it may be 5 o'clock in the morning, it could be 11 o'clock at night, it could be 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it may vary different times during the day. Now, in your prayer notebook, it comes with these little tabs, and the tabs are labeled Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Then what I did is I took the topics of my prayer requests and I divided them into different days of the week. Okay, now I'm going to show you how it works. On the front page of my prayer notebook, I have written a prayer verse. Now you can use my prayer verse, you can come up with your own prayer verse, whatever you may want to use. My prayer verse comes from Psalm 73:26, and it says this: My mind and my body may grow weak, but God is my strength. He is all I ever need. Psalm 73:26. And then underneath that I wrote this: 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. W-E-A-K. And it is true. If we go 7 days without prayer, our spiritual life becomes weak. And it gets weaker and weaker and weaker. And so that comforts me. I read that every day. I recite that verse every day before I open my prayer notebook. Now, on Monday, I have on my Monday tab, behind my Monday tab, is where I pray for our immediate family. Monday is just for my immediate family. So my first prayer, on my first page here, I have a picture. And I like to do pictures because I like to be able to look at those I'm praying for and visualize, you know, right there. And so it has up here, when you begin to pray for that prayer request, what the request is, and then if the prayer is answered or when it's answered, and then what the date is. And so here I have a picture of our family, because my first page is for my Bob. I pray for Bob, and he's the kind of the president of our company. He's the big daddy, you know, he kind of made all this happen. So I've got him there surrounded by the family. And then I have a picture of our son and daughter-in-law and our daughter and our son-in-law. Now, this is what I do with the grandchildren. You can do this with your children or your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. They put their little handprint on the page. Now, they've been doing this since they were real tiny, so every year I have them do another handprint. And I put their picture here. And then they outline it and they color it in, and we put a little heart in the middle of the palm of their hand. Now, on Monday, when I pray for Christine's in school, and who knows where I am, I hold hands with Christine. So my hand goes on to Christine's hand, and our hearts beat together as I pray for Christine. Now, here's Chad. Chad is our sanguine. He is so much fun. He never stops talking. He's the life of the party. He's got these great big sparkly eyes, and he just is a chitter-chatterbox all the time. I don't know what he talks about. He just talks all the time. And he's very expressive. And you can see the way he colors, he's expressive. Now, he doesn't care if he goes outside the lines. He doesn't care. He just wants to have fun, and he's just making a good time out of it. Now, here is his brother, who is 2 years younger, Bevan. Now, Bevan is a melancholy. There is no way he's going to go outside of those lines. But he can be creative, too, and he can do his little colors and whatever he wants to do. Now, here is our newest little one, Bradley Joe the second. He was 2 months old when we put his handprint on here, and here he is, 2 months old. And we took a marking pen in his hand, and Grammy took his little hand with his marking pen. I put the paper up to it, and he just scribbled a couple little marks there, and that's his first coloring. And someday he's going to be able to look back, and Grammy's going to be able to show him, Bradley Joe, this was the first time you ever colored on Grammy's prayer page. And so we hold hands with those special little ones. I want to tell you something about our grandson, Chad, the sanguine, the outgoing one. He has a real heart for God, more so than the other children. And he just has a real sensitive spirit about him. And he has a real concern for other people, even though he's really outgoing, a lot of fun, kind of off the wall a lot of times. But our son-in-law is a dentist, and he went to dental school and acquired a friendship with a Jewish young man there in dental school, and they became very close friends. In fact, they went into practice together. And one night, they were having dinner with his name is Alan, the Jewish boy, man. His name is Alan. And so, as it turned out, at the dinner table, Chad happened to sit next to Alan for dinner. And Chad just strikes up a conversation with adults without any problem at all. And so Chad looks over at Alan, and he says, Alan, he said, do you believe in God? And Alan says, sure, I believe in God, Chad. And Alan's got this big smile on his face, and Chad said, well, do you know the Messiah? And Alan kind of gets a serious look on his face, and he says, well, he says, well, do you know Jesus? And Alan says, well, I know who Jesus is. Jesus was in the Bible, and Jesus was a good person, and he taught people. Yeah, I know who Jesus is. And Chad says, but Alan, have you ever invited Jesus to come into your heart? And Alan says, well, I know that Jesus was a good man and that he taught people and that his name is in the Bible. And Chad looks at Alan and he says, Alan, do you know that Jesus is the Messiah and that he needs to live in your heart? And Alan looks at him. He's getting really upset. And he's 7 years old. And he says, Chad, I know that there was a Jesus. And I know that he was in the Bible. And Chad looks up with those big bright eyes and he looks at Alan and he says, Alan, that's not going to cut it. So important to pray for those children that they will be infused with Jesus Christ. And that innocent little boy was witnessing to that Jewish young man. And I tell you, it is so precious. what we give to those children will be passed on. And we don't know how many Allens there are in this world and how many little children are going to be able to witness to a man like that. I could never say anything like that to him. But see, Chad can. On Tuesday, I pray for illnesses, and I have pictures of people. I could tell you story after story of the special people that I've had an opportunity to pray for. This girl, her name is Lynn. She's a girlfriend of my daughter Jenny's. 29 years old, came down with cancer, had a double mastectomy, was in the City of Hope, in and out, chemotherapy 3 times, lost her hair 3 times. And then they decided that they were going to do a bone marrow transplant where they would take her bone marrow and treat it. And she was going to be going into isolation for 40 days during this time of treatment because she's has to be in a totally sterile environment during those 40 days because she has no immune system at all. And so I had a little tea party for Lynn, and 5 of us gathered together in our home. And I took the pages just like this, and I had Lynn outline her handprint on all 5 of the pages, so each one of us would have a page. And then I had colored marking pens in the middle of the table, and we all colored in her handprint. And then my Bob took her picture, and we all got a picture of her. And then we committed ourselves around that table to praying for Lynn for the 40 days that she would be in the City of Hope in isolation. And we laid hands on her, and we prayed for her, and we held her hand. And we told her that we would be holding her hand, even though we weren't there visually in the room or physically in the room, that we would be holding her hand for those 40 days. Now, we did not put her handprint and picture in the notebook. We put it on the front of the refrigerator door. And every time we walked by the refrigerator, we went into the refrigerator, we laid hands on Lynn, and we prayed for her those 40 days. And she came through. She grew her hair back. That was 3 years ago. And the doctors told her, they were married in our home, and the doctors told her that she would never be able to have any children because it sterilized her for the chemotherapy. About 10 months after she had gotten home from the hospital, she called me on the phone, hysterical, hysterical. I thought, my goodness, what's happening? She's dying. And she said, I just got back from the doctor, and she says, you won't believe it, but I've had 2 periods, and he said that if I give it 3 years, I can get pregnant. I mean, it just gives me the shivers every time I think about that, because I was a part of the blessings that are happening in her life. And all because we were able to get her handprint and pray for her and be committed to that. So I have this precious little 1.5-year-old, has leukemia, got her handprint, her darling little picture. And then I have all sorts of wonderful things that I pray for. I love Thursdays. Thursday's really fun to pray for because on Thursdays I pray for women who have come up to me and they have said, would you pray that God will bring me a husband? And so I said to our publisher, she's 39 years old, and Eileen, I said, Eileen, oh, she wants a husband so bad, and she's such a beautiful, wonderful woman. And I said, Eileen, send me your picture. I'm putting you in my prayer notebook, and on Thursdays, I'm going to pray for you so that God's going to bring you a husband. So she sent me her picture along with 4 other girls who want husbands. And then on Fridays, I pray for couples who are asking the Lord to bring them a baby. And it's been such a blessing and such a privilege to pray for these couples, as we saw yesterday in that drama. Their hearts are just so hungry and so broken and wanting it to be parents to children. And this couple I've prayed for 8 years. And last summer, God brought them 2 brothers, 6 and 7 years old, and gave them double which was what they asked for. And I just saw her a week ago in Northern California, and she just gave me a new picture of that beautiful family. And she said, my boys are bonding to us so beautifully. And then this couple I've prayed for about as long, and they prayed for a baby, and they prayed for a baby, and they prayed for a baby, and God brought them a baby. Do you know where they went to pick up their baby? In Romania. And they picked up little Natalie. She cried for 12 solid hours coming home until she bonded with her new mama. And now they've sent me pictures. She's growing up, and she's getting to be 2 and 3 years old. And it's so wonderful to be able to see how God is blessing and honoring and giving them the desires of their heart. It comes in so many different ways, but each way is God's way in their lives. And so I have my prayer notebook has become just so special. It's very personal. Your notebook will be very personal to you. You don't want anybody to read it because it's that personal. And then on Sunday, I have a tab on Sunday where I keep sermon notes, and I outline the sermon, and I'm able to keep that. And then at the back, I have my prayers. Many times I want to write to God, and I write, Dear Jesus, and I begin to write my prayers to Jesus. And it's so healing, because I look back now and I see some of the things I was struggling with, and I see some of the areas with my auntie that I talked about and how it was hurting my heart and what she was doing to me. And I journalize all of those things and I keep it all together. And then I look back and I say, thank you, God, because I'm growing. I'm healing. I'm getting better. I'm learning more. I'm learning more about you. And so we can organize. See how easy it is when you're not overwhelmed every day. You're just praying for certain things. By the end of the week, you've prayed for all of those things that you really wanted to pray for, and you haven't missed it. Now, let me show you what else I've done. I just made one up because I wanted to show you this idea, too. When our publisher, Harvest House, heard about my prayer notebook, they were really excited about it. And they decided they wanted to publish a little prayer planner, something that would go into your purse, or maybe for the working woman who needs to take it back and forth with her. And so they put together a little prayer planner. And in here, you have little boxes at the top of each page so that you can put a picture. And then the prayer requests and answers to prayer and a prayer verse. It is divided into days of the week. I just stuck my little tabs on the outside so that I could see them better. But I also wanted to show you, too, that you do have room in your prayer planner for handprints as well. So even though, and an adult handprint will fit on the page as well. So even though it's smaller, you still have, there's Chad again, you still have the room for the handprints. Now, this is what I did a couple of years ago for Christine, because I felt she was older, getting older. And I said to her one summer, I said, Christine, would you like to have a little prayer planner? And she got all excited. And so we got a prayer planner, and I went through my photographs, and we did a whole prayer planner for her. So she has pictures of two sets of her grandparents and her brothers and her mommy and her daddy and her aunts and her uncles and her cousins. And we'd had birthday parties at our house and pictures of that. So she had pictures of her friends, and she divided them into every day of the week. And then she keeps it under her pillow. And every night when she goes to bed, she pulls out her little prayer planner. She opens it up to that date, and she can pray and look at the pictures of your little ones, even at 2, 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. You know, even though they can't read, they can look at pictures, and they can pray for Grammy and Papa. And it's wonderful, especially if Grammys and Papas are not in the same state or in the same city where you don't see each other as often. It becomes much a part of their life. And so then this last summer, the two boys, our grandsons, said, Grammy, can we have a prayer planner too? And so we got a prayer planner out and put one together for them. And it's a wonderful way to do that. I spoke at a Christian school, elementary school, and they invited me to come and speak to all the girls. And they were kindergartners all the way up through, I guess it was the 8th grade. And I shared with them the prayer planner and went through the whole thing, what I've done for you. And then the school purchased enough of the prayer planner. So each one of those girls were given a prayer planner when I was through. I wish you could have seen. I was in total tears. I could not believe what went on. They started going around to their teachers and the principal and their friends that they were sitting with and getting their handprints. And then they came up and there was a big long line and they wanted my handprint. And I mean, it was so wonderful to see how God was working and giving them a hunger and teaching them how to pray. See, when you have a little tool like this, you know, it's so interesting what you women do. You have been looking at this for 2 days and passing it up on the table. Do you know that this was the most important thing you could have picked up on that table of anything else? And yet, until you learn how to take that tool and use it, do you know what to do with it? And that's why these kind of workshops and things are so important, because it's such a great teaching for you to be able to take a tool and then implement it in your lives. Because when you have something like this, you will pick it up. And you'll open it to that day because, see, now you feel organized in that way, and it's easy for you. You're almost excited about it because who am I going to pray for today? You know, who's on my Wednesday day? And pretty soon you learn. And you know what else happens? It's wonderful because during the rest of the day, I'm praying for those people. It's like the picture of their little face comes to my mind. The handprint comes to my mind during the day. So it's not only that quiet time in the morning that I'm praying, it's the rest of the time during the day that I'm able to pray as well, because God keeps bringing it to my memory and to my mind. And that's when it says that we are to pray without ceasing. See, now all of a sudden I know what that means. Now, you say, well, you only pray for your immediate family on Monday. Does that mean you don't pray for them any other time? Our son called us, and he said, Mom and Daddy said, I have a really big, important meeting, executive meeting, on Friday, and could you pray for us, pray for me on Friday at 10 o'clock, whatever it was. So I said to Brad, do you think maybe you can call and see if you could change your meeting to Monday, because that's the only day I pray for you? Do you do that? No, of course not. Of course you're going to pray for him on Monday or on Friday. So you see how flexible you are with it. But what it does is it gives you that purpose. On Monday, you know, and your family knows, and you know those grandchildren know when Grammy prays specifically for them, and we hold hands together. Now, this is the other fun thing that you're going to get to do is to put together a little prayer basket. Now, this is the small size prayer basket. Last night I showed you the large one. This is the small one. Then there's a medium one that's in between. And the smaller the medium are the best ones for your prayer baskets, because you don't need a great big one unless you have a great big Bible. But all you need is enough to keep your little tools in it. And again, it's the heart-shaped basket that says love, that God loves me, that he gave me a love gift, his very own son, the Lord Jesus. And in our prayer basket, we're going to put our tools when we go to make that appointment with God. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to put our Bible in our prayer basket, because that's how God speaks to us. This is how what God is saying to us. So it's so important that we read God's Word. Now, it may only be 5 minutes a day or 3 minutes a day or 15 minutes a day. Whatever it is, at least you start disciplining yourself to that priority of God in your life. Seek first the kingdom of God. And that goes into our basket. Then our prayer notebook or our little prayer planner. And then I put a few flowers in my basket. Now, the flowers say that it reminds me of the fragrance of the Lord Jesus himself, that it might permeate my heart and my soul and my body, and that as I look at those flowers, it reminds me of the wonderful fragrance of God. And then I put in a box of Kleenex and maybe a highlighter pen, maybe a few little notes so that when you're praying for somebody, you can drop them a note and say, I prayed for you today. God bless you. That's all you have to say. And your basket has all the tools. It has a little handle so you can pick up that basket and you can take it into your prayer closet, wherever that closet may be. I put my basket in a conspicuous place somewhere where I know every day I'm going to bump into that basket. And sometimes it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon and I walk by my basket, and you know what my basket says to me? Emily, you didn't pick me up today. And I go, I know, God. But, you know, the phone's been ringing and the wash need to be done. And, you know, I want to see the grandkids and blah, 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 blah. And then I remember, what's my priority? Seek first the kingdom of God. And I say, I'm sorry, but the next 10 minutes or 15 minutes, I'm not available. And I pick up my prayer basket and I go into my prayer closet. When my children were little, it was the bathroom. And even then, little notes and cards and things and pictures got slid under the door. And whistling, woo-hoo, mommy, what are you doing? Sometimes it may be out under a tree. Sometimes it may be by the fire in the winter, by the kitchen table. It might be on the floor, maybe even with your children around you. Let them see you pick up your prayer basket. Our daughter one day, it was like 5 o'clock or 4:30 in the afternoon, and the kids were driving her crazy, 3 kids, and they're pretty close together. And she called me up, and she says, Mom, she says, I just don't know what to do with these kids. She says, it's like the zero hour of, you know, who knows, everything's blasting off. And so she says, never mind, I know what to do, and she hung up. So later I said, well, what did you do? She says, it was the most wonderful thing that happened. She said, I took the children, and I took them in the bathroom, and I took off all their clothes, and I filled up the bathtub with bubbles, and I stuck them in the bathtub, and I turned out the lights, and I lit a candle. And she said, you know, just the candlelight and the darkness and everything in there just calmed them down, and they played in the bathtub. And she said, you know what? You won't believe it. 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I was sitting on the floor in the bathroom reading my Bible. See, God honors that. And one day, they were doing the same thing, and she got another idea. And she said, you know, I told them to all get on the bed, face up. And she said they did. And she said, then I got one of those green masks, and I put the green masks all over their face. And she said, I told them that they couldn't move because their face would crack. And she said, I picked up my Bible, and she said, I had 20 wonderful minutes with the Lord. You got to be creative, women. God says to give thanks in all things. We've experienced a weekend where we've heard a lot of testimonies. Mamie and her life and what she grew up with, and the tragedies in Barbara's and Bill's life, and losing their sons prematurely. How does a mother and a father and grandparents, how can you ever say thank you, God, for all of those things in my life? It's impossible. But what did Barbara say? And what did Mamie say? And Babby say? Thank God, because he's using those things in my life today to glorify God himself. So you think you've had it bad. And we've all had situations in our life that we wish would have never happened. But see, God takes that seemingly ugly piece of clay, and he forms it into something beautiful. And that's you. And we can say, thank you, God, for taking the negative and helping it to become something positive. Barbara travels all over the country sharing her story. And people listen. Because who wouldn't listen? Because she's standing up there and she's lived through it. And how do they live through it? Only because of Jesus Christ himself. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And so, women, as we leave this conference, we're going to be committed to Jesus, number one. And then you know what he says? He gives us a promise. If we seek first the kingdom of God, He's going to add all those other things unto you. And you are that beautiful woman because of Him. And we're going to be able to say, thank you, God, because you're using it in my life to glorify God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for our time this morning. Thank you that we can laugh and that we can cry and that we can be joyful in the midst of sometimes really heartaches. And I know that in a group like this, there are a lot of those. But Father, you reach down into the middle of that heart and wrap yourself in that woman's heart and comfort her. Give her the peace and the joy, because joy does come in the morning. And we praise you for that. And Father, as we sit here now, I just pray for each and every woman. I pray that she will make that commitment to making that appointment with you on a daily basis. Father, thank you for her heart. Thank you for this wonderful church and for the committee and for the staff and for everyone that has made this weekend happen. It's been glorious. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Amen.